Amal and the Night Visitors, Part 2. Do you remember where we were the last time that we met? Amal was just looking out the window, and he watched as a magnificent caravan approached his house. Three stately camels carrying three richly dressed men moved past Amal at his window, and then came to a stop. There was a knock at the door. Amal's mother did not stir from the bench.
"Amal," she said, "go and see who's knocking at the door."
"Yes, mother."
Amal hobbled to the door and opened it a crack. One of the richly dressed men from the caravan was standing before him. Up close, Amal could see the man was wearing a crown.
Amal stared for a moment, then he quickly closed the door and hurried to his mother. "Mother, mother, mother," Amal called as he limped across the room. "Come with me. I want to be sure you see what I see."
Sitting up, Amal's mother asked, "What is the matter with you? What is all the fuss about? Who is it?"
"Mother," Amal said hesitantly, "outside the door there is a king with a crown."
Amal's mother seemed to be talking to the ceiling.
"What shall I do with this boy? What shall I do?" She looked at Amal. "If you don't learn to tell the truth, I'll have to spank you."
There was a second knock at the door. "Go back and see who it is and ask them what they want," Amal's mother said, and she lay down once more. Amal opened the door a crack and peered through it. Again, he made his way back to his mother, saying,
"Mother, mother, mother, come with me. I want to be sure you see what I see."
"What is the matter with you now?" asked his mother. "What is all the fuss about?"
"Mother," Amal said, "I didn't tell the truth before."
His mother patted his arm. "That's a good boy." "There is not a king outside," said Amal.
"I should say not," said Amal's mother. "There are two kings."
Amal held his breath, waiting for his mother's reaction.
"What shall I do with this boy? What shall I do?" "Do," Amal's mother wailed. Then she ordered him, "Hurry back and see who it is, and don't you dare make up tales."
For the third time, Amal hobbled to the door, looked out, and returned to his mother, saying,
"Mother, mother, mother, come with me." He paused. "If I tell you the truth, I know you won't believe me."
"Try it for a change," said his mother. "But you won't believe me," Amal told her.
"I'll believe you if you tell the truth," said his mother.
Amal took a deep breath. "Sure enough," he said, "there aren't two kings outside."
"That is not surprising," Amal's mother said. "There are three kings," Amal announced, "and one of them is black."
"Oh, what shall I do with this boy?" Amal's mother was very angry. "If you were stronger, I'd whip you."
"I knew it," Amal muttered under his breath.
Amal's mother rose from the bench.
"I'm going to the door myself, and then, young man, you'll have to reckon with me." As the door swung open, Amal's mother gasped
and then bowed low. For standing in the doorway were three men dressed in royal splendor. Each king carried a treasure. One, a softly burnished chalice of myrrh. One, a gleaming urn of incense. And one, an elaborate coffer of gold.
"Good evening," the three kings spoke together.
"What did I tell you?" Amal whispered to his mother.
"Shh!"
his mother hissed in Amal's direction, and to the king she said,
"Noble sires, may we rest a while in your house and warm ourselves by your fireplace?" asked the black king.
"I am a poor widow.
All I can offer you are a cold fireplace and a bed of straw, but to these you are welcome, Amal's mother replied.
One of the kings appeared to be deaf. Cupping a hand over his ear, he asked the other two, "What did she say?"
"That we are welcome," answered the black king.
"Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you," said the deaf king excitedly. And he would have continued, but the other kings tapped him on his shoulders, and he finally became quieted down. Then, speaking together, the three kings said, "Oh, thank you." Bowing again, Amal's mother said, "Come in, come in."
A page, carrying a lantern, entered first. He was bent almost double under the baggage he carried on his back, which included an oriental rug, a parrot in a cage, and a beautiful jeweled box. Carefully lowering the baggage to the floor, the page hurried to the doorway where the king still stood. Picking up the train of the deaf king, the page announced loudly, "King Caspar!" And the page and the deaf king marched to the fireplace. The page rushed back to the doorway to carry the train of the black king.
"King Balthazar!" the page said respectfully, and the black king joined Caspar.
The page darted to the door to escort the third king into the room.
"King Melchior," he said.
The page spread the beautiful oriental rug and placed it on the riches each, and placed on it the riches each king carried.